session number 20466, Reel 3.
John Burgess, Reel 3. Can you tell me how and when you got the job as manager of Harworth?
Yes, I was at the time working at Sutton Colliery as a manager, and the next rung on the ladder was to be a general manager, and there was a vacancy came at Bevercoats Colliery. So I put my application in for Bevercoats, and in fact got an interview. I was first in, being B for Burgess, I suppose, and the director's first remark was, well, Bevercoats isn't for you, but I want to see you hang around, I want to see you afterwards. So I waited about until they'd seen the other applicants, and the director got me into his office and said he wanted me to start at Harworth almost immediately, which was Monday, August the 12th.
Which year?
1974. A bit unusual to start a management career in the middle of the month, but that was it. Anyhow, Harworth had been a very difficult colliery. They'd suffered from heatings and difficult geological conditions, and the men's hearts were in the boots. There was no spirit about the place. And they asked me to go up there and have a look at it and probably give it 3 or 4 months and go back and tell him whether, in my opinion, the place wanted closing or not. It was so desperate. Anyway, I went off up to Harworth on Monday the 12th of August, and didn't take me long to see that one of the problems was there was really no spirit about the place. They'd had a difficult run, and they wanted something doing to liven them up a bit. In fact, I met the NUM people the very first day, and their reaction was that you've come to Yorkshire now and we call a spade a spade. And I said, yes, but from what they tell me, you're not very keen on using a spade. So we didn't get off to a very good start on the first day, but at least we got one another sorted out, and eventually we got a pretty good working arrangement. The colliery was classified as a CD3 pit, which meant that there was to be no capital investment made at the place. So we immediately started to get some money by salvaging. I mean, we salvaged a lot of tackle. We salvaged some old... there was 300 internal railway wagons there standing idle. We scrapped all those and sold the scrap, and we made enough money to start to demolish some old buildings and tidy the place up a bit and at least make it look as if it's worth somewhere to go to work. And eventually we managed to get some pretty handsome results from some of the faces underground. We had one or two setbacks with fires and heatings, but generally we improved the situation. And in fact, inasmuch that the Coal Board decided, because the reserves at Harworth were so great, to drive two new drifts then into the deep soft seam and develop a new seam from there, which we did in the late 70s, 80s. And really, since the deep soft seam has been developed, the colliery's never looked back and is now operated, one of the few pits left in the country, still operating under the management of RJB, RJ Budge. Long may it continue.
But you said that one seam was the best coal in the country?
Oh yes, the Harworth top hard seam, which was a thick, 6 foot thick band of coal, stretched for ages, it's miles and miles and miles, excellent quality coal. In fact, it was very much prized as being the coal that fired the record-breaking steam trains that travelled on the old North Eastern Railway line, which runs adjacent to the colliery. And the coal was mined in some those days, and the larger coals were saved particularly for the railway companies to run their steam trains on. And so it was an excellent quality coal, but difficult to get because of spontaneous combustion problems and the gas emission, a lot of gas. So the pit was very difficult to ventilate, both from a heating point of view and from gas.
But and you say it would catch fire?
Oh yes, it would. Spontaneous combustion was a major problem, and one of the reasons why the pit suffered so badly in the past was, of course, with modern techniques, sealing roadways, preventing seepage of air through the workings. Eventually, we got topside of it.
Why was morale bad when you took over?
I think morale was generally bad because the results were so poor. You know, people always like to be associated with success. Success breeds success, that's a well-known saying. And because they'd had such a long run, pressure had been on the place, and no matter what they tried, didn't materialise. And because no money was being spent on the place, their morale was so low that they really couldn't see what they could do for themselves. And some of the early things that we did, they had to do themselves, and it was because of that that they eventually, you know, got round to the success it is today.
And when you arrived, they said to you, you're in Yorkshire now?
Oh, yes. I met the NUM on the very first day to introduce myself, and their reaction was, don't forget you're in Yorkshire now, and up in Yorkshire we call a spade a spade. And my reaction was, well, the stories I've heard, you're a bit adverse to using the spade, so we didn't get off to a very good start, but at least they knew that we were on the same wavelength.
But is it in Yorkshire or Notts?
The shafts are in Notts. The shafts are in Nottinghamshire, but the Nottinghamshire-Yorkshire border runs through the village, and we were in fact mining coal in Yorkshire. The coal itself was in Yorkshire, and but the shafts themselves are in Notts. So we were originally in Notts NUM, and after the disputes became the UDM, and which is still the UDM.
But colliers thought themselves to be Yorkshiremen, did they?
They'd got this. Well, this was the NUM saying that they'd got the Yorkshire attitude, which I didn't quite accept. No.